Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 94, and yes, it's actually 94 this time. Though, by funny circumstance, this one will actually be labeled number 93 in my files, as to keep everything, so that I can keep things straight. As far as, just the numbering system of the show goes.
So let me see if I follow this here. We, I guess added to our OPA blooper reel last week by falsely saying that we were doing episode 94 when it was really episode 93. So you labeled it that as 94 in your files. And now this week, you, rather than correcting the previous mistake in file, you would like to add a further error. Yes. This reminds me of the famous saying that two wrongs don't make a right, Kevin. That's a well-known saying, and I think that you've run afoul of it in your thinking.
Well, I believe I could still correct this problem in a very easy way after we're done recording. So hopefully I can get that accomplished and get your blessing again.
I'm glad we talked about this. I'm sorry that we had to take care of a little bit of a housekeeping on air, as it were. But,
It happens.
It's a little peek behind the scenes of what goes on here at OPA.
It's always when I come down to the South Studio that the problem is that the problems pop up.
Yes, we are in the OPA South.
I always like the home field advantage.
Yeah, that's worth at least 3 points, I believe.
It's at least three less mess ups when I record at home. We'll have to keep track of that the next time. We'll just have like a little bell to ring every time something like that happens.
That would be amazing if only, right? A bell might be a nice prop for us here. I don't know. We could look into that.
It might be in the budget.
But, I don't know, Kevin.
I would say, since the weather is very cold outside.
Oh, yeah.
We could talk about a topic that we have hit before, and we did not research which show of OPA it was on, because it was not the previous show here. Then we talked about the Greenland sharks that lived to 500 years old.
Yeah, now I believe when we last discussed it that we hadn't, scientists had discovered this strange species and had theorized that they would be able to live for a very long time. But if I'm not mistaken, this is maybe the first time that they've actually been able to perform the tests on the sharks within some degree of certainty to know when or how old they are.
They said that it was interesting that it was complicated to figure out their age because they're a gelatinous shark and they don't have vertebrae.
Yeah, these guys seem really weird. Like, I don't think there's very many sharks that are in that category of the soft sharks, I believe, because it's all like a... Because I think that all sharks don't really have bones. They have like that cartilage, but I think they have more. It sounds like they must have soft. These Greenland sharks have softer cartilage than your normal sharks.
Right.
So I don't think these guys are just like scavengers. Basically, like they're not going out hunting prey or anything.
Oh. Yeah, because they, I was laughing that they move 1 foot per second.
Yeah, that's not really hauling ass or anything.
No. No, it is not a fast-moving shark. And despite the fact that they said that they haven't confirmed a shark to be 512 years old, they did say that the low end of their estimate as to how old some of these sharks are is 272.
Yeah, they were at least 272 years old and up to 512 years old. With the most likely falling in like the 390 range, I believe.
Correct.
Which would be by far the oldest living vertebrate on the planet Earth. I believe the previous record was a tortoise, probably, is what I'm technically. Yeah. Who had lived to like 125 or something like that. Or maybe a little older. But,
yeah, I feel like they can live a bit longer than that.
This shark seems to have a very dismal existence, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure that this is the price I want to pay to... Like, this is not the cool, like, oh, man, I want to be Jaws. Like, you know, if you reincarnate yourself as an animal...
Sure.
In some fashion, like, I think people would be pretty satisfied if you're like... Oh, you're going to be a shark, and then you're stuck under an iceberg for 300 years. Like, oh my God, what did I get talked into? Like, your consciousness is just in the fish, or in the shark, and you're like, oh man, I am so bummed by this.
Yeah, and I imagine that, you know, you're probably, like, things are so dark and cold, it's just, like, so grim. Like you said, underneath an iceberg for 300 years. I think you summed it up pretty well.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's kind of crazy. Like, and I guess I find that fascinating about, A, the fact that we still know so little about ocean animals.
Right.
And it's crazy to me that... when they do explore places like this, they just find some bonkers. There's always something living there. Like, even when they go, like, down into Mariana's Trench or something like that, they're like, oh, this is, like, crushing a reinforced steel structure. And they're like, holy fuck, there's a floating fish down there that glows so that it can see in the dark.
Right.
And you're like, huh?
Wouldn't have thought that anything would survive down there. But,
Yeah, like, you can barely get a machine to survive down there, but there's some weird creature living down there. And I mean,
just adapted to it, you know?
Yeah, and this Greenland shark is just kind of the same thing. Like,
exactly, yeah.
For some reason, they got stuck under there, and they've evolved to... Well, I don't know how much you evolve when you live for 400 years.
Probably slowly. It seems like they do everything slowly, these sharks. And, you know, they are probably half frozen, I mean, in some way. Like, I don't know what their cellular activity is like, but I'm guessing their heartbeats are slow as far as, like, beats per minute.
Oh. Yeah, and again, it doesn't seem to exactly overexert itself.
So it seems like if you were in this, say, you know, monkey's paw scenario where you wished for... long life, you know, and the grantor turned you into a Greenland shark so you could spend hundreds of years underneath an iceberg. I think you would experience some kind of, like, slowed down version of reality, you know, like everything would, or what it would be, or maybe it would be like things would be faster outside because they are... you know, moving at normal speed. So to you, it seems like everything else is moving fast. I don't know. It would be one of those two things.
It would be weird to... yeah, I don't know how much you know about what's going on above the surface, you know?
How much you're keeping in touch with, you know, what's happening?
Yeah, with your polar bear buddy up north there. You know, there's no real way to communicate.
No, I don't think that...
and I don't know what other... Well, and I guess that's the other interesting thing. What else lives around this thing that it can, like... And it doesn't really say it in this article, but... you know, what they they've got to eat something and survive on something, and I don't know what that something is.
I thought that there was, I don't know, it could be krill for all, I think it might be krill, actually. So they're not like a hunting shark or anything. It's either krill or, and this is the kind of research that we obviously stand by here at the...
Well, I didn't feel like it said it in the article, but I am running back through it just to see if the information is in there about what they eat. Because it was mostly about how they were usually do the radiocarbon dating, but they had to use eye juice to figure out their age properly because of the whole bone issue that they don't have.
Yeah, that posed a problem for them since the shark, as we said, has a softer cartilage that didn't really have like the same rings that you would find, say, in other sharks that would let you tell how old they were more precisely. But it was a big range.
Oh, yeah, because it says almost all of their biology is a mystery.
Well, there you go.
You know, we can't do crack research if someone doesn't do it for us, Ken.
Yeah.
We're just here to podcast the strange news. And this certainly falls under strange news. I mean, any further developments with these Greenland sharks, we're right there.
And
we're ready to bring it to you.
I think we ought to look into, requesting some... funding to have an expedition under this iceberg to see, what we can figure out. Because I think really it might come down to that if no one else is going to step up to it.
The OPA podcast is raising money.
We will need to get some underwater microphones and also underwater something that will keep us alive down there. So that's just, we can work out some of the details later. I'm just looking to see if, it eats mostly fish. Wow.
It is a predator,
but it has never been observed hunting. Recorded fish prey have included smaller sharks, skates, eels, herring, etc. Cod. Yeah. Lumpfish. Oh, that sounds good. Wolffish. Huh?
Again, bound to be something else weird down there.
Oh my god, this fish is crazy looking.
Oh, yeah, it looks like a sea snake.
Yeah, it's, it does appear to be a, almost like an eel or something with these kind of
big, crazy nasty looking teeth.
Yeah.
Like this.
It definitely has big nasty teeth.
That has been a theme so far this evening.
Well, I don't know, because it's in a way it ties into another topic that we had here, Kevin. Those of you who are familiar with the works of Monty Python, specifically Monty Python and the Holy Grail, will remember the scene with the rabbits with the big nasty teeth that decapitated several people in that during the course of that those events.
It was a horrifying moment in the movie. Nobody saw this coming except for Tim.
Right. No one would believe his warnings about the rabbit being dangerous and the nasty teeth and so forth.
Yeah, and they finally brought about the holy hand grenade of Antioch.
To smite the rabbit with, yeah.
Yeah.
After counting to three, of course, that being the number of the counting. There's another example, I guess, of rabbits that so far, at least, have seemed to be not as deadly as the rabbit from that film.
No, I would say that these are the complete opposite. I did not see anyone... evidently, there was a YouTube sensation, and I'm trying to figure out... I haven't pulled up here. Where someone was chased after a stampede by a stampede of rabbits. in an island off of Japan,
which has come to be known as Bunny Island by the internet.
Rabbit Island.
Rabbit Island.
Get it right.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Okinshima.
Yeah, so this, I do remember seeing this video a while back.
Oh, 2014, so.
But my daughter has long requested a trip to, as she calls it, Bunny Island. it has not been in the cards so far. I've told her to save up for it, and who knows, maybe someday she will. But it's far away, but it seemed interesting to me. And this article was, I think, interesting because it kind of laid out the history of the island a little bit more.
Yeah, and it was pretty fascinating that it was a test ground. Like, Japan even wiped it off of its official maps to keep it as a hidden secret area to test. Because it's only 2.5 miles diameter, I think it said.
Right. So you could, like, walk around it in a day, I believe, without any trouble.
Yeah, in hours, I believe.
Yeah.
was what it was.
So it's a small island, and they used it for military testing.
Yes, poisonous gas in 1929. And then supposedly rabbits were brought to the island as test subjects for the chemical weapons. They say that the rabbits were euthanized prior to the experiments closing up shop.
So these may have come from somewhere else?
They may have come from somewhere else. Who else do you blame? You always can blame the British.
Mm. That's probably true of most things.
Yeah.
They did run most of...
It's possible that a nearby school released the... release the rabbits there.
Yeah, there were a couple of theories. And I, you know what they say about rabbits. Breeding like rabbits, frankly. So it probably wouldn't take many of them to get this whole ball of wax started here.
And because the island's so small, there is not a natural predator for said rabbits.
Mm. And I think maybe partly too because of the poison testing had kind of killed off any other animals on the island.
Yeah, I would imagine that would have an adverse effect in a very small area.
So, that kind of, like, opened up the ecosystem for them, which, you know, seems good that they would be able to not have to worry about enemies, but...
you cannot thin the herd then.
But, rabbits being able to breed, so, I mean, they can basically, I don't know if they always do this, but I think they can, like, have litters up to 3 times a year, and I don't know how many they have at one time, but we'll say 4 to 6, maybe, so you can see that that would add up pretty quickly, and, I think...
Oh, yeah, because they said that, estimates vary, of course, but they said that there are about 300 rabbits in 2007. And 10 years later, there's between 700 to 1,000.
Yeah.
So they've more than doubled in population.
Yeah, I mean...
In the meantime, in the ensuing 10 years.
So the kind of bummer thing, I guess, is that these rabbits are really not able to survive based on the resources of the island. Like, there's too many of these rabbits, and they rely on...
people coming to the island to feed them.
People to feed them, yeah.
Which is... And, I mean, evidently, the tourism trade is up quite a bit, but people are feeding them the wrong thing, which isn't surprising, as I've found out, being a dog owner, there are a number of untruths that are purported to be truths. You know, about what animals can and cannot eat.
Sure.
So, yeah, a lot of people bring cabbage, and evidently that is not healthy for them at all. Like, it's actually toxic for them in large quantities.
Which is weird, because usually that's something that rabbits would go after in your garden. But maybe it's just something that they would eat as sort of like a last resort or something. I don't know. But yeah. Then again, there's usually a lot of grass, and I think they eat grass as well. But I don't. Maybe grass is not as appetizing as some things would be. And the other thing is that you would think, of
or
course,
maybe there are just different nutritions in there that the rabbit needs, I suppose.
And also, iconically, rabbits are known to eat carrots, which I believe the article said is also not great for them all the time.
Correct.
So, it's kind of blowing my mind here on a couple of levels. I've really got to rethink how I think about things.
Yeah, right. I have never thought about having a pet rabbit. They stink, and they poop a lot.
Which probably has something to do with why they stink.
Yeah, it probably has something to do with it.
Yeah,
and they're kind of dicks like cats, except not as cool as cats.
I remember having rabbits as pets at some point when we were growing up, but they were like outside in a hutch, and I don't know. I think we ended up getting rid of them somehow, giving them away to somebody maybe. But yeah, I never really developed a bond with them at all. Although there was a cute little rabbit that I remember at a daycare that we had Kennedy at. They kind of had there as a mascot that they would let run around and kind of, well, hop around in the lobby area.
Oh, okay.
And that was always kind of cool. It seemed like a very chill rabbit. I'm not sure what kind it was, but had kind of like, it was like a oversized one with like kind of loose skin.
Oh, yeah, there's a larger breed of rabbit. I'm trying to think of what those are.
But it was cool, so I could see having something like that maybe, but...
Yeah, well...
I wouldn't necessarily want to go out and out of my way and find one either, so...
Well, but these rabbits on Rabbit Island are super, super friendly. Like, there are numerous videos of people having them climb on them while they're feeding them.
Which does not seem like a good idea. I know they're just quote-unquote rabbits, but still, it's not like they don't have teeth and claws that, especially if they're climbing on your face, could mess you up.
Yeah.
I would not want something to, like, claw my face.
I do not want to go to Rabbit Island, really. I do not want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
I guess maybe if you felt the need to crusade to get them fed properly, maybe you should roll up in there.
Yeah, I wonder if somebody could set up shop with kind of like a chain of rabbit food, healthy rabbit food, you know.
Right. Because they did say that the hotel supplied food for a while. But then they stop doing it. Because for some reason, it's like, well, if you don't directly sell stuff for this, we'll let this tourism slide. Like, it's kind of a weird system that they have going on there. Because kind of everyone acknowledges that's why it's happening. But they're not allowed to support it happening either.
It's a looking the other way scenario.
Yeah, because they have, like, signs saying not to feed the rabbits, but they let everyone feed the rabbits.
Right.
Because they know that's why everyone comes.
Yeah, so they can't really mess with that. But at the same time, there's probably pressure from, you know, other people saying that this is not good. And just the videos are a little bit... if you look at them in the right or wrong way slash wrong way, they are kind of, you know, you could either see them as cute or as kind of, like those rabbits really are desperate to get food because there's not, food around. And it's, you know, in one sense, cute that they're all kind of swarming these people, but in the other sense, like,
yeah, the environmental part of it is really pretty crazy. You know, because I would think if people didn't come, more of them would die. Oh, and I guess that did kind of, speaking of dying, they only have a 2-year lifespan.
Oh, rabbits?
Yeah. The rabbits on this island, when normally that it would be a feral rabbit's average age would be closer to 10.
Mm. So that could be something about why they're, like, if their diets aren't good.
Yeah, it could be why they're dying so much earlier is from the diet.
And just maybe stress in general from being around so many other rabbits, too, and kind of competing for the same resources.
Well, and they did say, too, that the feeding pattern, sometimes the animals just won't have anything to eat.
Right.
Because no one comes and feeds them that day. So, and they were mentioning how, like, a rabbit's body needs to consume calories every day because they burn calories every day.
Yeah, that is interesting, because I was come across that in another YouTube video I think I was watching about how big and small animals' metabolisms are so different. Like, the bigger an animal, the slower its heart beats, you know, because its surface area is a lot smaller than its volume. Like, as you scale up, like, as you scale down, like, your surface area is gets larger in a ratio to your volume of space that you have in your body. So that means that you lose heat a lot faster. So you have to be producing more heat.
Okay.
So to do that, you have to be consuming more calories. So yeah, like, that's why little hummingbirds have to, like, be eating all the time, or mice,
you know, or rabbits.
Rabbits, in this case, another small animal. So,
yeah, so it's a little bit of a problem that these, you know, well, it could lead to the short lifespan, not having, you know, a consistent food source. You know, just that in and of itself is something that could be throwing their age off.
Yeah, I would say that's another, definitely a stressful a stressor, as you might, someone might say, and could cause their lifespan to go down, I would think. That tends to be how things work. When you get stressed out, I think it's not good.
Not good.
Not good idea. Sorry.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm not sure why that popped into my head.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, weird that you would just think of that George Bush impersonation that Dana Carvey did back there in the 90s.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I would not do.
If I
was a part of, and I am currently part of a condo association, if someone came to me with the idea to install anti-bird spikes in all of the trees in the condo association, I would not be happy with this request. It would not be granted because we do not have the money for such silliness.
Yeah, that would be a big nagada from me as well. I never really liked the idea of seeing these kind of bird spikes places where, you know, you oftentimes see them on buildings kind of in urban environments where people don't want the birds to be sitting and pooping, basically. I believe I don't know. I remember seeing them at the airport. Anyway, you see him around. I think people are familiar with what I'm talking about here. But
yeah, I guess I can understand them in a... And people would argue that this is the somewhat limited situation.
Oh, well, sure. It's everyone's personal opinion what counts as a reasonable use of bird spikes. But
yeah, I'm like, I guess I can see it outside of a big building. You don't want everyone getting pooped on as they come in.
But then it is a little bit strange to say that, you know, hey, birds, where do you get off wanting to be in trees?
yeah, that part doesn't make a whole lot of, what do they call that? Not burden of proof. What word am I going for there? Oh, well, fuck it.
possession of the tree is 9/10 of the law. I'm not sure. But
yeah, I you should really expect birds to be in trees.
Birds in trees. I mean, this is something that goes together pretty well, I would say.
Yeah, the birds in buildings, you know, maybe I can find that. But there's a... in Bristol, in England, is where this is. This story happens to be from. I'm sure they're not the only community doing this.
They're just the first to come to our attention.
Yep, the first to feel our wrath.
Yes, we're gonna drop a big elbow on Bristol, England. Yeah, apparently. Well, the motivation behind this was to protect residents' cars from being bombarded by bird droppings. And I'm not sure how much we're talking about here, bird droppings. I mean, I guess it could be a lot. But it still seems not cool to not let birds in the tree.
Well, I didn't quite understand why people left their cars out. Why not just cover them if they knew that it was going to be pooped on?
Yeah, that's another reasonable solution, I think. Put a cover on your car. I mean, some people might find that to be burdensome, but I don't know.
Yeah, you're not putting up bird spikes.
Yeah.
You're not being a complete dick to nature.
Now, not only
with nature's own tool in the tree.
Yeah, and the thing I didn't even consider is how, you know, when I first saw the headline here, and I didn't realize it until I saw the pictures, like how god-awful it looks to have these, like, big... jagged metal spikes in these trees, like on all the branches.
Yeah, it does not look attractive. I mean, it kind of looks like you have icicles for like a Christmas themed party all over the trees.
Yeah, except it doesn't like hang down. It's like spiking up.
Oh yeah, it's more. Is it a stalagmite that comes from the floor?
That's right. Yeah.
Yay!
It's a stalagmite versus a stalactite situation.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Kind of like it's more like a stalagmite, I would say, or more like there's still always a little bit of water dripping out of the high school faucet in the cold weather. So I always see a buildup of a ice stalagmite at the school, and there is certainly one being formed currently.
And you know what it kind of reminds me of? It is like a wire brush, like a nasty-looking wire brush from a distance, I guess, when you see it. And it's just not pleasant. It's like not something you want to be looking at. You're kind of ruining your trees at that point.
Yeah, that's the part. And they did say that they tried decoy birds to try and keep them out. They had actually tried at least a couple of other solutions.
You know, I wonder if they did the... there's this one gas station that I end up stopping at a lot when we're going up to my wife's hometown to visit her family. They have these speakers outside that are playing like these hawk noises. Like, wah, wah, wah. That's a pretty good special effect there, by the way.
And, bravo, yeah, bravo.
I'm gonna, not to toot my own horn, but I pretty much nailed that as far as how it sounds. And it's like playing constantly. And I've noticed that, you know, there's no little birds around, like no little sparrows coming around. So I think that's what their whole deal is there.
Yeah, and I can't remember if they mentioned trying to use a noise machine or not.
But I could see that being pretty annoying, too, because anytime we go there, it's almost comical, like, how often this thing is, like, going off.
Just, it's got to be consistent to keep the birds away.
I guess so. I mean, or they just aren't taking any chances. They're taking a zero tolerance approach. I'm not sure, but yeah, they were really going nuts with it, and I could see that being annoying too. So I'm not sure. I guess which I'd rather have.
Well, of all the options, I definitely don't want spikes in the tree.
No, I think we're both in agreement here. Spikes got to come out of the tree. That's how we solve this one.
Yeah, people of Bristol, England, go fuck yourself. take those damn things out of the tree and just put a cover on your car and deal with it. Or put it in a garage. For heaven's sakes, clean out your damn garage.
Mm.
And get rid of that extra rubbish.
Yeah. That's right.
And park your car in there.
Well, there was the aforementioned elbow drop, Bristol.
Said elbow dropped.
I hope you can pick yourself up off the ground in pieces after this one. But, yeah, this is the program where we solve problems, Kevin. And I think we just solved the problem for them there by letting them know they can just put a cover on their car. That's one I hadn't thought of.
Well, Ken, this problem will be the biggest of the show, I would have to say.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a problem necessarily, but it depends. I'm not sure. This was, you know, we have a lot of strange topics on this show, and this has got to be one of the strangest.
This story happens to the headline kind of says it all. Scientists say Japanese monkeys are having sexual interactions with deer.
Yeah.
And, you know what? The article lives up to the billing. I'm going to throw that out there. Sometimes you get the headline and it just doesn't really match. There's even video of these monkeys having... I mean, to me, it is quite clear that, if nothing else, they are using the deer to get themselves off.
Right. Yeah, I would say that
like
is...
They're kind of having the deer help them jerk them off at a minimum. Like, the deer does not always seem to care what is going on. And in some instances is doing other things like eating while this is going on.
Yeah, so this is kind of a lot to drop on people at once, I think. So maybe by way of background, one thing that I thought was interesting is that it is common, I guess, for these monkeys to jump on the backs of these deer and kind of like pick off bugs and things like that, groom, which is kind of a symbiotic relationship there.
Yeah, so I wasn't terribly surprised by that because there are a number of
creatures that do that.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting idea. I had never thought of in a million years, really, of monkeys riding deer, but yeah, we saw that can happen in more way than one, I guess. At the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of funny that they used them for transport.
Yeah.
Jeeves.
That's
take
wild.
Me away.
Like, I feel like that there's a movie idea in there somewhere.
Alvin and the Chipmunks. Alvin and the Japanese Monkeys.
Yeah. Because, all right, so the other thing I should say is that this may not be a widespread phenomenon.
No, yet again, we are back upon the islands of Japan. So we have called a lot of interesting science from Japan.
Yeah.
This show.
Yeah, that's been a real good source for us of topics. It seems like we get a lot of Japan related things, and this is not no different, I would say. But I'm not sure if that has, you know, there's no, as far as I know, real explanation for this that is rooted in this particular location.
Yakushima Island is the name of the island. And it's a Sika deer, and it's actually a macaque.
Mm-hmm.
And I did get a kick out of the beginning of the article. It's just like, oh, one person observed this a couple of times, and a couple other people that did an even longer study said, nah, this guy can't be right. And then they went, and he's like, oh, no, they're definitely having sexual interaction with this thing.
Yes, so...
so they went, the people that did this further study were actually somewhat skeptical of the concept at first. And then after observing them for what seems like several months, they're like, oh, yeah, this guy was not wrong.
Yes, and there are, as we said, there is a video of some of these activities. And I don't know if I'd say it's not safe for work or not, but maybe not great for work, we'll say.
yeah. Maybe not great for work. I don't know what that acronym works out to be exactly, but I'm sure it'll be the next big hashtag.
MNGFW. Yeah. This was definitely hashtag MNFG. Wait, shit. MNGFW. That's right. Rolls off the tongue.
Yep.
But yeah, it's nothing explicit exactly, but you can see the deer is being grinded on, and they said it's usually these adolescent female monkeys, and especially with male deer. And I guess they have, and this is kind of funny to me that we could have any reason to, like, how can we have any understanding of why a monkey does anything, really? Like how they see the world. But that hasn't stopped these researchers from coming up with their own theories of why the monkeys might be doing this.
Yeah, I believe that there were five posited theories that they came up with. So, I mean, this is certainly not exactly a subject that's known a lot about, much like the sharks there. Like, there's still a lot of Earth to cover.
Yeah.
And there's weird shit happening all the time.
We don't know how long this kind of behavior's been going on, or if it's a recent development. Like you said, this is probably something that hasn't been studied before. And it could be something that, in times past, even if somebody saw something like this, they maybe wouldn't even want to write about it.
There could have been a modesty issue at hand. Maybe someone did see it once and it's just like, nah, I didn't just see that.
They did like a double take and then like rubbed their eyes and then looked again. And then they're like, they're never gonna, there's like, then they decide they're gonna quit drinking. They like throw the bottle away. did one of those.
That would be outstanding. if that's what happened. Because at least the video that they showed, the timing of sexual interaction does not take long. So, you know, rubbing your eyes might give you just enough time to miss out on the act.
And make yourself think that you didn't actually see it, even though you know you did, just so you can, you know, move on in the world without having this torment you.
Yeah, there's just another monkey up there staring at you, ready to come hump your leg.
But the strange thing that, I don't know, it just seems strange, I guess, based on, you know, how things are for humans, is that for these macaque monkeys, the more mature females are more in demand for...
the male companionship.
Yes, for like, mating. So the younger females are usually rejected, they said. So this could be why they are branching out a little bit.
Yeah, they said that that was an option. One option might be it's just they're doing a little bit of practicing. They're just trying to get some reps in, man.
Yes. I'm not sure if it's how much practice it is. I'm not sure exactly how these monkeys do it, per se. But these female monkeys seem to be taking a very active role in the process. So I don't know if that's exactly how things go down when they do go down. But to me, this seemed more like a kind of... if you can't be with the one you want, love the one you're with.
It's just a fling, baby. It's just a fling.
Like, they probably would rather be with a... and this is just my theory, I suppose. They would probably rather be with a male...
macaque.
And then, you know...
Yeah, maybe they
throw down with a deer.
Maybe they want to pop out a baby or three. I don't know how many they have at a time.
Yeah, I guess...
you know, maybe she wants to be a mom macaque. That was her... That's her dream in life, is just to be a mom macaque.
Or at least to get it on.
just to get her freak on?
Crazy monkey sex. which could take on whole new meanings now after we've read this article. It could be... It's even crazier than we thought, Kevin.
Yeah, it can go to other species.
Yeah, I forget, what did they...
that's why I wasn't surprised. They're like, interspecies relations usually happens between two animals that are of a similar genetic disposition, essentially.
Yeah, a case where they may have...
like different types of cats, different types of dogs.
Sure, a rabbit and a hare, maybe, just to call back our last one.
Yeah, that works.
A horse and a zebra. I don't know. Something like that.
Well, that would work, although I think that it might be like a gazelle and a zebra.
Okay. You know what I'm saying, though. Now, the quote that I thought was funny here that I highlighted was, the researchers note that this interpretation... In this case, is implausible, and because the anatomical differences between Japanese macaques and Sika deer are profound. Yes, those differences, they are profound, aren't they? It is like funny to have to hear them try to explain that actually these animals are very different. So I don't think they just thought that was a male macaque. They probably caught on to that situation. But the deer seemed to be okay with it, you know, for the most part, at least in the videos that we saw.
Yeah, they seem to be nonplussed by the situation. Although, in the one video, it did seem like if there was a little tension in the air about what was going on, that the macaque just couldn't finish the act.
Yeah, the macaque had to... play it cool a little bit, I think, because the deer was a little bit like, what the heck are you doing back there? I thought, look, I let you on here so you could pick bugs. I don't know what...
What's happening?
Yeah.
That is not picking bugs. That is not picking bugs, pal.
No, I don't know what it is, but I know it ain't picking bugs, and that is really what you're here for, so... And then I noticed that the monkey did get back to kind of looking for bugs, and would kind of like, you know, get a few thrusts in, maybe, while the getting was good here and there, but still had to kind of like pretend like that it was really just, you know, looking for bugs.
Right.
So, I don't know. Maybe I'm reading in too much of this. Maybe this is really saying something about me somehow. I don't know.
Stunt Granny psychologist can yes. help us out with that one.
Yeah, exactly. This is, you know, just me spitballing here. Who knows? It's really, like I said, probably impossible to actually understand why monkeys do anything, or other animals at all, or even other people sometimes. It's like, why does anybody do anything? I don't know. I think that's a great note to leave our listeners with.
And we can definitely talk about it's that time of the year to have this beer. It would be Great Lakes Christmas Ale. I have spent so much time saying that it is not the best Christmas ale that now I've kind of swung back to the, you know what, you've still got to say this beverage is still a very fine beverage. Even though it's not my favorite Christmas beverage, it's probably still in the top five of a Christmas time beverage, if not a top three.
I would say that I had not had the Great Lakes Christmas Ale before, and I was a little disappointed after having it this time. As you said, it's not the number one Christmas Ale in my book either. But you know, it's got a lot. You know, it's got the kind of Christmassy spices that you would expect, I think. It's just a little, it's like not a little dull or something to me. I'm not sure.
Gotcha. Want a little more hop action in there.
Or like a crispness or something, you know? I don't know.
You want some pine in there? Want some spruce tips?
That would be good, yeah. Spruce tips. I like the sound of that.
I do believe I've had a spruce tipped beer before.
Yes, even on the show we did.
It's a good beer. Maybe not tossed, but it's definitely more distributed than some of the other beers too, though, which is makes it more accessible for some of the OPOD listeners, because they have expanded into the PAW region for quite some time. Because even in our fine hometown of Altoona, Pennsylvania, you can grab a Great Lakes beer.
Oh, wow.
Because they distribute that far east.
I had not heard that. But that's news to me, and I guess that could be news to our listeners. Hopefully it's news you can use out there.
And with that old cliche out of the way, this is at DeFrango11. That's at Gozer33. The brand is at StuntGranny. Rate and review us on whatever you happen to listen to us on. And have a good night.
And a good week.